Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Celebrating 8 years is radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of 2 books, and all-around nice guy.
He's everywhere!
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Mr. Wonderful here at your service. My website is www.jbsba.com or smallbusinessadvocate.com or jimblasingame.com. Do you have yourname.com? Have you reserved yourname.com? You probably ought to look into it. When you get to my site, I hope you'll subscribe to my free newsletter, and I hope you'll take advantage of all the other resources, the thousands of different resource elements in our Brain Trust, including our Brain Trust at our website that you can take advantage of and that will help you to have the maximum opportunity to be successful, including checking out some of the things that we've done in the past with our good friend Matthew Cartwright, one of the resident attorneys in the Brain Trust. He's one of the partners of Munley and Cartwright out of the great state of Pennsylvania, and he's here to talk to us about legal matters, a number of different legal matters. Matthew, welcome back to the show.
Well, good morning, and a fine July morning it is. How are you doing this morning, Jim?
Great, Matt. Thank you for being back with us, as always. And folks, Matt, my audience has been has had to listen to me ranting and raving and covering the Kelo versus New London case for a couple of weeks now, since the Supreme Court ruled 5-4 in favor of the New London, Connecticut Council and their industrial development arm taking 115 properties from one group of private individuals and selling it to another group of private individuals for private development rather than for public use, which is the way the takings clause was originally proposed in the Fifth Amendment 229 years ago or so. They've been hearing me talk about this, including a number of other experts on this issue. And what I want you to do, if you will, is to help us bring this ruling back to our state levels and sort all this out so that we can make sure that the state direction, which is one of the rulings of the majority was to kick this back so that the states could make their own decisions. Help us sort all this out, Matthew.
Well, first of all, I want to deny for your audience, Jim, that you're a ranter and a raver. I don't think that about you. I think that on this issue, I think a lot of your listeners are going to share your opinion based on what they know about this case. This case is called Kelo versus the City of New London, Connecticut. And it stirred up a lot of controversy. It's about, a month old. It was decided June 23, 2005. And you're right, it was a 5-4 decision. It's about eminent domain power, and it's about whether the government has the right to come in and take property and use that property as part of a regional redevelopment plan in order to spur economic development. That's what they were after in New London, which, as you know, is a very depressed area since the Navy's pretty much pulled out of there. And so we're talking about double the unemployment rate for the rest of Connecticut. We're talking about rundown waterfront area. And they were scratching their heads wondering, what can we do about that? So what they did was they put together they reactivated this New London Redevelopment Corporation they got city authority to condemn a lot of this waterfront property.
115 properties, including one home that had been in one family for over 100 years. The woman who's going to be displaced has lived in that house all of her 87 years, including
right,
with her own family, and
right.
And some small businesses.
And you know,
Matt, that when you start messing with small businesses, that's when my antenna goes up.
That's when the great crime fighter Jim Blasingame.
That's exactly right.
Back up.
That's right.
Well, all right. Let me see if I can analyze this opinion for you a little bit. I think there's a lot of, you're making a lot of good points about the case, and I think that's shared by a lot of people. But I want to suggest that folks are being just a tiny bit alarmist about the decision for a couple of reasons. Number one, I think that it's not really a departure from existing law. Really, since about 1954, United States Supreme Court law has been very clear that the U.S. Constitution allows eminent domain condemnation to developed entire rundown areas such as New London. They did that. I'm speaking of the Berman case from 1954.
Hold on to that thought, Matt. We're going to take a quick break, folks. When we come back, we got more to come. Matt's going to help us sort this out, and we're going to get into how you can be involved in your state to make sure that your state laws are the way that you want them to be. Small business owners, this is a very important topic. 20 Tail, stay with us.
Well, our hearts be like thunder. I don't know why.
We're back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Matthew Cartwright, who's helping us make some local sense of the Supreme Court ruling, Kelo versus New London. And Matthew's telling us, Matthew, you were telling us that this is not all that new. And one of the things I'd like to back up, though, and I would like to read something. The takings clause, folks, as you heard me say over the last couple of weeks, is a little short. The very end of the Fifth Amendment, and it says this: nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. And that's called the takings clause. And historically, until the last few decades, Matt, that had been taken to mean for railroads, for bridges, for airports and highways, things that where private property was in the way of public use types of developments, not so much private development. But
right.
but you're saying in the last 50 years, that's changed a little bit.
Well, you know, I think people should take heart for a couple of reasons. Number one, it isn't much of a departure, if at all, from existing law, and we'll talk about that in this segment, and maybe in the next segment we'll talk about what you can do on the local level, because Justice Stevens is saying in black and white that there is something you can do if you don't like this result.
He basically kicked it back to the states, didn't he?
Exactly. So let's talk about why this isn't such a departure. You know, it's a case that's very interesting for Supreme Court watchers because this case is more a reflection of how the court itself has changed over the last 50 years than that the law is changing because of the court. And I say that because 51 years ago, there was a case called Berman, and it was in Washington, D.C., and there was a 5,000-acre parcel, a part of Washington, D.C., that was terribly run down, was blighted. I think 64% of the properties were run down and uninhabitable. It was dangerous, and they had to do something. So they got a regional development plan in place, and they went to condemn the properties. Well, a fellow named Berman, who owned a department store, that's right, got his back up, and he took it all the way to the United States Supreme Court, just like this Kelo lady did. And he lost, too. Very, very similar case, and he said, look, This is not a public use. What you're doing is you're turning this over to developers, and people are private individuals are going to own this property eventually, and that is what happened. And the Supreme Court unanimously in 1954 said that's all right because it is a public use. There is much public benefit, and it was pretty obvious.
Well, I think it is important that we parse words here a little bit, Matt, because we need to, if we're in that case then, and in the Kelo case, we don't need to call it public use. We need to call it public benefit. And what you're telling us is that's the 20th century interpretation of the takings clause.
It is an old interpretation, and it was the point I'm trying to make is it was unanimous in 1954 that that's what they.
Well, that was the Warren Court, though, wasn't it?
Right.
Yeah, that was. I mean, we know about the Warren Court, don't we?
Well, that was Justice Douglas. I happen to agree with Brown versus Board of Education.
Well, I didn't say anything about Brown versus Board of Education. I'm talking about some other issues. But anyway, the
point is that the law hasn't changed. It's the courts that changed, because in almost exactly the same situation in 2005, you don't get a unanimous decision. You get a 5-4 decision,
right,
and a very contentious set of opinions. So
what you're saying is that if one of the five had gone the other way, that would have been more controversial than what we have now.
That's the whole point, is that when you read these decisions, these 5-4 decisions, to make sense of them, you have to look, you know, to make sense of them, meaning to see where is this taking us, where is this taking the law, you need to look at the swing votes.
Mm-hmm.
What made them decide the way they went? In this case, it was Justice Anthony Kennedy.
Right.
Who was clearly the swing vote.
Right.
He wrote his own opinion, and he made it clear that the thing that people are afraid of is that you're going to have some big developer who's got a politician or two in his pocket.
Right.
And he's going to get the politician to condemn, you know, some waterfront area, including some nice homes and things
right.
like that.
That's what Thomas and O'Connor were concerned about.
Exactly. And it's a scary thought. I agree with that.
Well, you know the classic language that will be quoted for many generations from Justice O'Connor's ruling. She said, "Nothing is to prevent now the state from replacing any Motel 6 with a Ritz-Carlton, any home with a shopping mall, or any farm with a factory."
Well, that's exactly right. And in fact, Justice O'Connor, what impressed me was she said, "Today, under the banner of economic development, all private property is now vulnerable."
That's right.
And you know, to some extent, she's right. But, you know, you have to look at Kennedy, because I think that Justice O'Connor is really being too alarmist about it. Kennedy is talking about that situation, about the sweetheart deal with the local
mm-hmm.
politician and the developer. He says, look, all of these condemnation things are trials. And, Jim, you and I were talking. You were on a jury in one of these trials
years
ago. They're trials, and you're allowed to develop whether there is a sweetheart deal going on.
It also is important that they kicked all this back to the states. When we come back, I want you to talk to us about what we can do in our state house, in our areas, to make sure that our individual states develop these laws properly. And we're going to do that right after these messages. Tintail, stay with us. We're back at 7 till. It's Van Halen for you. Matthew Cartwright is our guest. He's an attorney, but we love him anyway. He's with the law firm of Munley and Cartwright out of Pennsylvania. Matt, give us your website, please.
It's www.munley.com, and we like radio talk show hosts too.
And folks, this is not your grandfather's attorney's website. You need to go check out Munley.com website and see what's going on over there. Okay, I'm going to give you 2 minutes to talk about how small business owners can protect themselves and why the civil jury system in the United States will do that in this case.
Well, this Kelo case is a perfect springboard for me to continue talking about, and that is the jury trial is the small businessman's best friend. This is a perfect example of this, because if you're a small business owner and you think there's a big local developer with one of the local politicians in his pocket and he's going to condemn your property as part of the whole neighborhood and, you know, a big hotel, the way you do it is you hire a trial lawyer, you get into court, and you file a suit in court, and you start doing pretrial discovery, and you get that lawyer to take deposition after deposition after deposition. This is where cases are won, and they'll find out the truth if there is a sweetheart deal going on, how much money was contributed to the campaigns, all of the things like that. You know what? They didn't do that in Kelo, And
they didn't.
Justice Stevens made a point of that, that there was no evidence of any kind of a sweetheart deal going on.
But
the
you know,
protection is to find out the facts.
But Matt, if Kennedy had ruled the other way and he had gone 5-4 the other way, then all these municipalities would have said, you know what? The Supreme Court ruled, they strictly defined the takings clause of the Fifth Amendment to mean that I have to use this for public use, not for public benefit, and maybe there would be less of those, and we would have few. See, my goal, and I know this is where you and I have a conflict, Matt, but my goal is not to help small business owners prevail in lawsuits. My goal is to help them not have to have a lawsuit.
Well, okay, let's get into that. One of the things, and by the way, Justice Kennedy, who was the swing vote, made a big point about the fact that the trial court, they did have a trial in that case, and the judge conducted a careful and extensive inquiry into whether there was a sweetheart deal going on.
Right. No,
on.
I agree with that.
There was no evidence.
No one's ever said that there was any kind of malfeasance there.
Right. Well, no, but it's an encouraging thing because
right. This
happens. You can protect yourself.
They were doing it for
right.
the right reasons.
The best way to go at this problem, if you're as fired up as Jim is, and I see the point of it, if you're talking about private property rights of small business owners and homeowners, so what's to protect yourself? Call your local state legislator.
Right.
Justice John Paul Stevens, in his opinion, for the majority in this case.
And good for him for doing that. I give him credit for that.
He makes a point that the U.S. Constitution, Bill of Rights, this is a baseline of your rights. This is not the most restrictive way of covering the problem. In other words, contact your local state legislator, have him or her introduce a bill into the state assembly to enact legislation making it much more difficult than the Kelo standard to engage in this public eminent...
Matt, the first thing that I think that every small business owner ought to do is find out where their state is in this on the takings clause interpretation. Some states have already ruled that they have to use a strict interpretation. Some states have gone the other way. Some states haven't made up their mind. We all need to know where our state is in this topic, don't we?
Right. For example, California. Justice Stevens notes there's a law in the books already that you can only do that in blighted areas.
Right.
Michigan has a similar law.
Connecticut is the other way. Connecticut says whatever they want, they can take the property, and a number of other states are like that too.
And I'm going to suggest that if you want to get active in this, strike while the iron is hot. Strike while the Kelo decision is in the news.
Right.
Because if you're concerned about that. Now is the time to act.
Matt, give us your website one more time.
It's www.munley.com.
It's always fun to have you here. You always educate us, and you always bring us some good information. Looking forward to having you back again already.
Well, I know you stick up for small businessmen, and so do I, Jim.
Yeah, I know you do. Hey, thanks, Matt.
Take care.
We'll see you next time. Matthew Cartwright, ladies and gentlemen. He's one of our favorite attorneys. Got to take I got to go for this hour. I got to wrap it up now. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and as you know, this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.